Full radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 2. Matthew chapter 2. Familiar passage, but we want to extract some things from it to help us with our walk with God today. Matthew chapter 2. If y'all don't know by now, He's able. My goodness, poor Mr. Tate done sang out her heart over there. We ought to know by now, He's able. Amen. The New Zion remix. Nobody does it like Zion. Matthew chapter 2. Thank God for our music ministry today, our praise team. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse number 7. And the word of God reads thusly. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Say amen for the word of God. Amen. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof, but the word of our God shall stand forever. For these few moments today, I want to share with you from this thought, I want to talk about preserving Christmas. Preserving Christmas. Preserving Christmas. You and I have been assigned today, and from this point on, with everything in us, to preserve Christmas. And we talk about Christmas today. I'm not talking about December 25th. I'm not talking about gifts and trees and decorations and eggnog and spiked eggnog. Yeah, I know who I'm talking to. Today we talk about Christmas. We talk simply about the coming of our Savior. The fact that everything that we need, we find in the fact that God sent His Son to die for our sins. And see, I know I'm talking the right talk already, because when I say the name Jesus, it ought to bless the house. When you think about what's been done for us that we could not do for ourselves. But the reason why some of us don't have that excitement that we ought to have is because of this guy called the Grinch. I'm not talking about Dr. Seuss's character. The young people go talk to you about him next week. But there's a Grinch that's trying to steal your Christmas. He's on a path. He's on a mission to rob you of your joy, to rob you of your excitement, to have you so frustrated and confounded with everything that does not matter, to have you mad at people you can't change, Amen. Have you mad at situations you can't do anything about, Amen. So that you won't celebrate and preserve your Christmas. Even on your worst day, Jesus came to die for you, but he couldn't die unless he was born. And so we have something to celebrate no matter how much money is in our account, no matter how much we got going on, no matter what's happening this year, we still have something to celebrate because Jesus was born. I'm going to try it one more time. We still today, as Christians, as believers in God, still have something to celebrate. I'll press if I got to press today, but we got something to celebrate. We've got something to be excited about. There should still be some enthusiasm amongst the people of God about the fact that Jesus Christ was born. That God thought enough of us that he would send his only son to be what we needed because we were at one point separated from God. Amen. And God loved you so much that he would send a son wrapped in swaddling clothes to be a savior for you and I. Amen. But if you let life happen so much, you will let go of your Christmas. That's right. You will lose your joy. You will lose your celebration because you're so preoccupied with everything else. You're so frustrated with everything else. You're so caught up with everything else that you won't be able to celebrate Christmas. But I come to talk about two or three people today who made up their mind, you will not take my joy again, Grinch. You will not rob me of my praise. You will not rob me of my power that God is still good. He is still worthy to be praised even in days like this. Even in moments like this, he is still worthy to be praised. Our text this morning, beloved, takes us to this familiar scene where there were some brothers called Magi. Can the church say Magi? Magi. These Magi were some astrologers, some very intelligent astrologers from the East. We don't know if they were from Asia. We don't know if they were from Persia. We don't know where they were from. They were just from the East. And they see a star. God came to them in a way that they could understand. And he showed them this star that was to symbolize the birth of the world's Messiah. That's good news to me because even no matter how far you may be, no matter where you may be, God has a way of getting your attention to remind you and show you that I'm God and I got you no matter what you got going on. You're never so far that I can't reach you. You're never so low I can't pick you up. You're never so high I can't bring you down. Never so lost I can't find you. Somebody ought to thank God today that no matter what stage of life I'm in, God will meet you right where you are. And you can't deny the fact that there's nobody but the Lord who has touched your situation. These Magi, now it's interesting to me because Jesus has been born. The time of our text, Jesus has been born. And some time has passed. Many believe that Jesus was up to about 2 years old at the time of our text, that he's not the baby. The nativity scene that we see is not really the biblical account of what takes place. The shepherds and the Magi were not in the same setting at the same time. So what we see in society is not the biblical picture. I'm not going to get mad about that today. Don't y'all get mad, but it's not the biblical picture. Because the Magi heard about Jesus from afar, and they followed the light. They follow the star. Your life will be a whole lot better today if you just follow the star. I don't know who this is for, but if you get your mind off this stuff and get your mind off this people and just walk in the light, the beautiful light, come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around me by day and by night. Jesus is the light of the world. I come to testify if you just walk in the light, if you just chase the light, if you just walk over the light, you'll be all right. They follow this light. Now, they're smart men. They're intelligent men. And they're smart, but they see something that piques their interest. It piques their curiosity, and they got to chase and see what that light is. And they follow him, and they end up over by Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem is this king who's like a Grinch today. His name is Herod. Can the church say Herod? Herod. King Herod, by nature, fights Jews. He is an Edomite by nature. He's those who are the descendants of Esau, who by nature fights the Jews. Herod was a very wicked king at times. He was a very controversial king. He was a very power crazy king. He wanted everything to be about him, and he didn't want anything that was going to share glory. He wanted all the attention. He wanted all the focus, and he hears word that some king has been born. Wait a minute. I thought I was the king, Herod says. What's this talk about somebody taking my place? What's this talk about somebody going to replace me? I'm the king. I want that position. I want that spot. I want that attention. I want that glory. He hears the fact that another savior, another king has been born. Now, it's interesting to me because Jesus is born in Bethlehem. The Magi are in the east, and they travel a long journey, and Jerusalem and Bethlehem are 5 miles apart. I'm going to try it again.
Jerusalem and Bethlehem, where Jesus is born, are 5 miles apart. The Magi see a light, and they travel to see Jesus. The people of God are 5 miles away and won't travel to see Jesus because they're so threatened and because they're so caught up in their... I'm talking good right now. We got some people today that as good as God been to us, we won't travel 5 minutes, won't travel a short distance just to tell the Lord thank you. But somebody in the barrel, somebody in the ditch is getting ready to come here and upset this mess that we got going on in the church because some people are going to start appreciating the fact that God done gave them life, that God done gave them strength, and they're going to follow the light. And here we are, some of us in Jerusalem today. Here some of us are. And we're closer to him and won't go see him. And here are these Jews in Jerusalem and the king, they won't go see him because they're threatened about somebody taking their place. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear anything about this Messiah, this Jesus, who is going to save their own souls. And so in Jerusalem, they're going by what they hear. But the Magi go by what they see. They chase this light. But Herod and the Jews are going by what somebody told them. And so the Magi come to Jerusalem and they talk to King Herod. And King Herod says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do because I'm going to try to use these guys because I don't want any threat. I don't want Christmas coming to these people. Because if Christmas comes to these people, they're going to take their eyes off me. If Christmas comes to these people in Jerusalem and this world, then they're going to celebrate God and not celebrate me. If I can just make their life so miserable, if I can just get rid of this Jesus guy, if I can just stop him from coming, the people will never have hope. If I can have that job be bigger than Jesus, if I can make that man be bigger than Jesus, if I can make that heartbreak be bigger than Jesus, I'll stop Christmas from coming. Oh, it's a Christian in your life right now who's made up his mind, I've got to stop Christmas from coming. And here we are right now in God's house letting the Grinch tell you what to do. Yeah, the Grinch is bothering you because he's got a plan. So it began today, if we're going to preserve Christmas, we've got to be, number one, be conscious of the plots of the wicked. I say we got to be conscious of the plots of the wicked. King Herod, he brought the Magi in by hearing that they wanted to find Jesus. And instead of him being honest with the Magi, he tried to front and he tried to plot. And he wanted to use the Magi to kill Jesus. Isn't it interesting how the enemy wants to use the people who love the Lord to lead the Lord? That tasted mighty good. I'm going to say that again. It's interesting how the enemy wants you and I to lead the Lord so we can lose the Lord and we lose the spirit of what Christmas is all about. See, he don't use enemies to hurt the Lord. He used the people that he saved. He used the people that he done redeemed, the people he done bought with a price. And here you and I are with all that God has blessed us with, and you ain't came in and smiled yet. You ain't lifted your hands. You ain't clapped your hands. You ain't told the Lord thank you because some enemy has got you thinking that the Savior of the world got a problem with you. For we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And so he, watch this now, he uses flattery. He calls them in. Where is this king y'all talking about? Where's this king? He's in Bethlehem. What? He in Bethlehem? Yeah, he's in Bethlehem. And that was all according to prophecy of Micah chapter number 5. That everything works the way God had ordered it. Even with the enemy trying to work it, God already prepared for the enemy. You missed your shot on that one. Because the enemy think they plotting on you, but it's really all part of a prophecy. And you can't really shout until you know how to let people's plots be a part of the prophecy. You got to have some enemies. You got to have some attack. You got to have some adversity. Otherwise, the power of God and the prophecy of God won't come forth in your life. Otherwise, why would the word say all things will work together for the good of them? The good things and the bad things. The mighty things and the messy things. The low things and the high things. All things work together for the good of them who love God. See, all enemies can't leave. Somebody got to be at the table and watch you eat. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence. All of them ain't going to leave. Because that's a prophecy with your name on it that God has a plan for you and he ain't going to let all the ugly people leave. What God gonna do is bless you in spite of them. I wish somebody could get happy like I'm about to get happy. That God, I don't need to be enemies that leave my life. God even make my enemies my footstool. I ain't got to have you leaving my life for God to be present. He'll take care of me with you watching me. Be conscious. But it's interesting, y'all, because the Magi had already followed God before talking to Herod. That's why it's important that you be in the Word and you be in prayer, because otherwise you won't be able to discern between an enemy or a friend. If they didn't know God right, they would have thought Herod was a friend, because Herod starts sounding like he loved the Lord too. And I think I'm talking to some Herods in New Zion today. It's a lot of folk who talk like they love God, who will shout like they love God, but their heart is so far from it. And I'm not going to get hung up no more on people who faking, because there's some fakers in the church. There's some pretenders in the church. Everybody here ain't shouting because they love Jesus. Some of y'all like position. Some of y'all just nosy. Some of y'all just in the house. Some of y'all just ain't got nothing else to do. But I don't care about you, but I'm here because I'm following the light. Cause anybody can talk a good game. Well, I tell you what, fellas, y'all go find Jesus and show me the way where he is, because I want to go worship him too. Read your Bible. Read the text. Herod tells them, because he don't speak what's from his heart. He speaks what they want to hear. And some of the way the enemy plots against us is by telling us. That's how he deceives us, by telling us what we want to hear and not what we need to know. And we get mad at people who tell us the truth, because we're in an itching ear season. Well, we just want to hear it's going to be all right. You can be low down. You can be dirty. You can be evil. You can be hateful. You can be messy. And it's going to be all right anyway. Until you change your heart, until you change your mind, ain't nothing going to get better with your crazy self. But when somebody tells the truth, we get mad. But when some Herod come along and flatter you, you run behind him. Here's a word for somebody. Herod's finna get you in a world of trouble. There's no way you're gonna be godly and politically correct. You gotta make a choice. And we don't take a stance because we wanna be liked. You wanna be accepted. Don't want to get in trouble. Let me tell you something. If you really saved and you love the Lord, waking up go get you in trouble. You ain't got to ask for trouble. Can I tell you the truth? Trouble will come find you. When you walk with God and it's just something about you, that trouble go try to find you. I wish I had a witness up in here. Anybody ever have one of them lights outside in their porch? Don't bugs get attracted to light? Well, if bugs get attracted to a light, what you think will be attracted to you? Let me leave y'all alone. Herod says, fellas, if y'all just go, y'all go see him and come back and tell me which way where he is, because I want to worship him too. But you forgot, they not just regular guys. These are wise. I'm about to shout out my shoes. Because here's the good news. I might look crazy. I might look like I ain't paying attention. I might look like I don't know what's going on. But I already done talked to God before I came around some of y'all. And so God will prepare you. God will give you some sit. Don't you talk to that. Don't you fool with that. Don't you go there. Don't fall for that. Don't eat that. Don't drink that. Watch. I might look crazy. Hey, somebody shout glory in this place. Let them think you crazy. Keep walking. Think you're crazy. That's all right. You the one with the problem, because you assuming I ain't got good sense. But you don't know I've been talking to God before I even came across you. And I can be friendly with you and not fool with you. I'll preach by myself. I can be kind to you and I ain't got to lean on you. Just because I'm grinning don't mean I'm crazy. It don't mean I'm naive. It don't mean I'm foolish. I just love God, and it's the right thing to do to treat you right. But please, man, don't get it twisted. I saw you coming before you got there. You ain't fooling nobody. That's why it's important not to know no man after the flesh. Because flesh will get you messed up. Him so sweet. Her so kind, and then her so conniving, him so cutthroat, telling you everything you want to hear, and don't mean you no good. Real friends will tell you the truth. People really love you, gonna tell you, sit your crazy self down, you wrong. Tell me when y'all come back and I'll follow him, and I'll go worship him too. Well, they got wisdom. So the question they ask themselves, maybe, if he want to worship, why don't he go with us? If he don't want to see Jesus so bad, why don't he go with us? Don't be telling me you love God and you want me to do all the work. You want me to pray, but you don't want to. See how quiet that got right there? It's the plots of the wicked. And we got to preserve Christmas. You understand that? I got to understand there's some wicked people in this world, wicked spirits, who don't want me to get to Jesus. And if I do, they want to get rid of my Jesus so they can get rid of me. Lord, I want to help somebody real quick. It ain't your job to be Jesus. It's your job to show people Jesus. And some of y'all about to lose Jesus trying to get somebody you love to him, and they don't love him or you. And you about to forfeit your character. You about to lose your power. You about to lose your anointing. You about to get fired fooling with people who don't love you or your God. They just fronting on you. They ain't bother you by going to church, but they mad about you going to Christ. Because when Christ shows up, your life go change. Your mind go change. And when light show up, you gonna start seeing them for who they really are, and they don't want you to see who they really are. Come when the lights come on, you start seeing who's around you. Let me quit. Be conscious of the plots of the wicked. Secondly, when we gotta preserve Christmas, we got to be committed to pure worship. We got to be committed. There it is. Y'all shut up on me already. You got to be committed to pure worship. Can I teach that real quick? The Magi have heard from the evil king. They smell a rat. They know something ain't right. And guess what? They still go worship. I'm going to try it again. They know they in trouble. And the Lord might be in trouble. And they say, we came this far. I ain't come this far. And I'm going to stop now. Because I don't come to see the Herod. I didn't come to see the preacher. I didn't come to see the deacon. I came to see Jesus. I wish I had somebody in Zion today by two or three people who said, I didn't come for no fashion show. I didn't come for no fashion of fame. I came to see Jesus. I came to see the one who raised me up. I came to see the one who saved my soul. I came to see the one who healed my body. I came to see the one who put a roof over my head. I ain't come to see y'all. Watch this. I say it's pure worship. Sit down, because you ain't gonna like this. Sit down. I always have to look out for y'all. That's why I'm your boy. Because see, if I tell you the truth here and you're still standing up, you're gonna wanna sit down and can't. So I'm gonna give you everybody the opportunity to sit down when I tell you this. Because it's pure worship. They came to Jesus, but they ain't come empty-handed. See why I told you sit down? Because too many of us come wanting instead of coming to worship. And real worship is not you trying to get nothing from God. It's you trying to give something to God. I want to give him the best I have. I want to give him the glory. I want to give him the honor. I want to give him the praise. I want to give it to him. That's real worship. Now, part of your Herod's problem, the Grinch and the Herod in your life, part of their problem is you won't give them the gifts. They mad at God because you giving God something they want. They want their time. I'm preaching, Ben, y'all saying amen. They want your attention. And they see you taking your eyes off them and putting your eyes on him, and they mad because they are the king in your life. They've been telling you what to do. They've been calling the shots, and you done changed your eyes and put them on Jesus, and they hot with you. Do y'all see this, y'all? Do y'all see this? Y'all, they know Herod don't mean Jesus or them no good, and they still go worship anyway. You don't know real worship till you worship in the midst of haters, in the midst of liars, in the midst of mess, in the midst of gossip, in the midst of evil, in the midst of cantankerous, in the midst of oh any kind of thing. I'll tell you what, here's a good opportunity right now, because Herod is in the house right now. I don't know if y'all know it, but Herod is in the house. I dare some of y'all in their face to give God the glory, in their presence to tell God, thank you, I'll bless your holy name. Don't be scared. I almost feel all right, y'all. Y'all better watch me. They in the house. Herod knows. Herod done plotted. And you still got to worship God in the midst of a messy situation. Anybody can praise God when everything is good. Anybody can praise God when ain't no Herod around. But with hell in your life, with stuff in your situation, with your money getting funny, with your body turning on you, with your house going crazy, will you still say, I will bless the Lord at all times? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Can anybody do it? He said, all time, my good time, my bad time, my up time, my down time, my left time, my right time, my healthy time, my sick time, my rich time, my poor time, all time. They go worship, but they don't go worship empty-handed. They bring with them gold. What you say, preacher? I say they went and brought some gold. That means these ain't no broke wise men. Somebody ought to help me preach. They got some gold. And they brought gold to a child. But he ain't no regular child. He's the savior of the world. And see, when other folk been born, ain't been no light. But when he was born, a light started shining. And I ain't got no problem. I don't care how young Jesus is. I don't care what way he's moving. I don't care how I just want to see Jesus. Watch this. Are you giving him a cubic zirconia worship? I was trying to be nice, but cute, that's the $2 way of saying cheap. Fake. Because real worship leaves the building. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. Don't be hollering up in here. All right, man. They bring gold. Now, people say it was three. This was good for me. People say, tradition say it was three. And they basing the three on those gifts. That one had gold and one had frankincense. One, but nowhere in the Bible does it say it was just three. Y'all missed it. Tradition say it's three based on the number of gifts that was presented. But nowhere in the Bible record does it say it was just three wise men. Y'all shut down. I'm going to come back over here with y'all. Tradition says it was just three people because it was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they just gave one gift per person and say it was three wise men. But nowhere in the Bible record does it say that. Yeah. which means there could have been a whole lot more who understand something about Jesus. I'm going to get everybody in. Since ain't nobody got it, I'm going to give everybody a chance. The Bible says that there were three gifts, but it does not say it was only three wise men, which means that maybe on 430 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483, it might be a wise man and a wise woman who God been good to, who God done made a way for, who God done opened the door for, who don't mind giving him some glory, who don't mind, who wise enough to give him glory in the midst of a situation. I wish I was in the house with some people today who wise enough to say, I'll bless you, God. I'll give you the best I got. Gold symbolizes deity. Frankincense, that good smelling stuff, symbolizes humanity. But then he gave him some myrrh. Myrrh. Gold, cool. Frankincense, smell good. With the Bath and Body Works and got. But then he brought some myrrh. This bitter myrrh that was typically used for anointing or preserving dead bodies. They brought gold, hallelujah. Frankincense, hallelujah. But then myrrh. Because he wasn't just born to be born. He was born to die. He wasn't born just to do miracles. He was born. And what they gave him symbolized his life, his kingship, his humanity, and his death, burial, and resurrection.
I'm trying, y'all. I'm trying.
They didn't come empty-handed. So when you come give God worship, it's not about how much money in your pocket and how if you sing like somebody else. It's just about what you know. And when you know what he's done for you, and when you think about what he's done for you and who he is in your life, you get to can't help it. I wish I had a witness in here. People go laugh at you and point at you and roll their eyes, but that's all right. I don't see you no way because I'm looking at him. I want to help somebody get over these holiday blues. Because here y'all on it today. Y'all came on purpose with the holiday blues. Y'all came on purpose. I know you did. Spiritually, the Lord showed it. Y'all came on purpose to be sad.
Bells will be ringing. What do the lonely do at Christmas? Wake up. Go get you something to eat. Put some clothes on, wash your face, and say, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for being born. That's what you do, because just because you alone don't mean you lonely. You've always got a God who's holding you and keeping you. You got the Holy Spirit who is your now get over there.
Now, you can't have it both ways. You can't be by yourself and trip, and then you're mad and you got people because you don't want to buy all them gifts. You bragged all year long, saved and happy about it. Now, you want to go see the lights. You got gas in your car? Get in that car and go see the lights. Y'all mad night. And y'all come here with this attitude like, Because here's what y'all done missed, if y'all don't understand something by now. You and I are supposed to have Christmas every day. Y'all missed it. I don't need no doggone tree to tell the Lord thank you for coming to my life. I don't need no gift. I don't need no eggnog. I don't need no silent night. We're supposed to have Christmas every day. And I can't buy you no gift every day. No, I ain't doing that. so I can have Christmas every day. And I came on purpose to destroy these assignments that the enemy uses to make you miserable this time of year. There's still joy available. There's still peace that's available. There's happiness that's available. But it's all a matter. Guess what? Get your own PJs. I know where I am. Y'all worrying about these matching PJs so y'all can get on Facebook and go to the store. Get your own pajamas and take a picture from different angles. Y'all ain't hearing the preacher. Do whatever you got to do to encourage yourself so that you won't rob God of his glory and rob yourself of happiness in this season. I know where I am. It's time for you and I to be intentional about being joyous and being celebratory, because God is still good even on our worst day. Now, we're going to keep putting up with that. You get desperate and go get with some food just for this time of year. Then New Year's coming and you look, what I done got myself into? I know where I am. Because you want to make photo ops and you see your friends doing it. Now y'all want to have parties together. Everybody gathered around the couch with matching PJs. Hashtag us. I know where I am. I don't care. God called me to look out for your soul and your mind. And I got to tell us the truth, because that's where y'all at. Ain't no sense of me trying to say thou deep. Y'all hung up on these matching PJs and some clown that you ain't got and that you don't need. Or some clownette that you don't need. That's going to happen when it's time. I ain't got nobody. I'm just going through. What? I'm just in a place. Let me come to church all sad and looking crazy. Because I ain't got this special someone. Yes, you do. His name is Jesus. I know I sound too preachy, but I ain't got, that's all I got. His name is Jesus. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will walk with you. He will talk with you. He'll hold you in his arm. He will wipe your tears. I wish I had a... And see, this is what you got to understand. If you keep talking to him, he'll show you them. He will talk to you about, uh-uh. But Lord, she's, uh-uh, boy. Uh-uh. But Lord, he got a good job. Uh-uh. That's just, he the right physique. He got the right, you know, he got them dreads. I dread if you fool with him. I wish somebody would help me. He will help you. When you have a relationship with him, he helps you in your relationship with others. I'm preaching, Ben, y'all saying amen. And we got to get over these holiday blues. We got to conquer that. Because guess what? It keep coming every year, don't it? And ain't you tired of being sad for 2 weeks out of a year all the time? Because you ain't got to be sad. I want to really minister, but y'all don't go. Y'all stay so mad at me all the time. Some of us need to work on us before somebody else can come help us. Don't you know you something else by yourself? Why you got your hand up, Sister Turner? Why is your hand up? Lord have mercy. The matriarch of the house done gone. be committed to pure worship. Got your hand up saying, yes, yeah. No. No. Be committed to pure worship. They come anyway. They watch this, y'all. They come to the house. They didn't come to the manger. Nativity scenes say they came to the manger. Text says they came. And they see the child, Jesus. Lord have mercy. Can I teach y'all a little Bible? Which means that he done grew up now. They got word that he was born, but now they see him growing, and they still show up and see him because they see him as a child now, but they still bring it to him. And when they come in the house, they get happy when they see him. Because he exceeds their expectation. Ain't that just like God? To always exceed your expectations. Can I tell you why some of us are upset today? Because we keep bringing them down to our level. Can I tell you what's wrong with the 21st century Christian? We don't have any hope. We keep expecting the same thing. But he's not the same Jesus. He's different from when they heard about him to what they see. They heard about him as a baby, but they see him as a child, which means that he doesn't change, and he keeps exceeding your expectation. When's the last time you just said, Lord, blow my mind. Lord, bless my socks. Lord, I'm expecting you to meet me in a new way. They got happy, and they glorified God. Then watch what happened, y'all. Watch, y'all ready for this? This is the part that I had to stop hollering on. I got to teach this. And I hollered for a while. Thank you, Kim. Thank you. They were committed to pure worship. But then lastly, early and finally, you got to be cautious about the path you walk. If we're going to preserve Christmas, we got to be cautious about the path that we walk. Watch this. They didn't just come and worship. Somehow, some way, they got a word. Bible says God came to them in a dream and said, don't you go back the way you came. See, too many of us want to shout but don't want to be shaped. We want to holler but don't want to be holy. But you can't worship without a word. Lord have mercy. You ever notice how in the worship, it ain't just here, it's everywhere. In a worship service, babies don't cut up during singing. You don't get hungry during the offering. Stomach don't growl during praise and worship. Medication don't kick in. The time a preacher gets to say, there's a word from the Lord. Mm. I don't want to miss it, but if I don't go now, I ain't gonna make it. Little poo-poo start cutting up, and you beat him to death and life. And they keep hollering. Because the Grinch don't want you and I to get the word. Because, see, the word is where we're going to have life, where we're going to have victory, where we'll overcome, where we'll have instruction, inspiration. And he don't want us to have the word. He'll have you inspirational without being informational. You'll be an empty vessel making noise but no substance. These brothers, however many of them it was, they hear from God. God says, Herod got something planned. I see his plan. I'm going to stop his plan. But y'all don't be part of his plan. Don't go back the way you came. Now, that's good that God would tell you that, because nobody who really worships should ever leave the way they came. I'm going to try it again. If you done really gave God pure worship, you are not come back down the road with gold in your hand. Frankincense and myrrh. You should have been emptied out and come back different, poured out, gave everything you got, and come back different than you came. That's my prayer for you when you leave here today. When you leave down here and go down that hill, you are not the same. You're going to go back to that job, back to that house, back to them children, better and different than you came here. You might came here heavy, but you're going to leave here light in Jesus' name. Well, what happens is there's another character called to help protect and preserve Christmas. It's his brother Joseph. Y'all kicking it in Bethlehem. The Lord come to him. Get that baby out of here. Y'all read the Bible like I do. A word came to the Magi, and a word came to Joseph. And said, they told Joseph, get him and Mary. And I'm going to tell you to take them to Egypt. Because in Egypt right now, there people are friendly to Jews. I'm not going to just go send you out. I'm going to send you to a safe place. Because I'm trying to keep Jesus safe. I'm not just going to send them anywhere. I'm going to send them where I know somebody going to help preserve Christmas. So even when you leave, not where you want to be, go somewhere where you know people love the Lord like you do. Stop going to these places who don't love God. Now you done got yourself caught up. That's why you don't need to go to the bar. That's why. Because you're finna get yourself in a foreign land, and when in Rome, you'll do as the Romans do. I got to teach now. I'm sorry, y'all. I got to teach this. Okay? Then he tells Joseph, get him out. Tell the Magi, don't y'all go back that way. Because Herod want to kill Jesus and y'all. So they go home, but they go another way. Something interesting happens also, y'all. I'm going to bless your socks off. When they were having their first interview with Herod, they were led from the east by the light. They had an interview with Herod. Watch this. The light showed back up after talking to Herod. Let me try again. They were in the east, being smart. A light shows up. They follow the light, brings them to Jerusalem to meet with Herod. Light don't even shine. And Jerusalem is the holy city. It's the church. And you know it's bad when the church ain't got a light. They had to leave the church for the light to show up again. They leave from talking to Herod, the light shows up, and take them on to Bethlehem. Lord have mercy. That's why you can't get hung up on religion. That's why I got to get y'all out of tradition. That's why I got to get it out of y'all way and follow the light. It can't work the way now that it worked 20 years ago. Get over it. The light is moved on. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. They go from Bethlehem home, but they didn't go the way Herod thought they would. The Grinch saw where they came from, but he didn't know where they were headed. God had already carved out a path for them that the Herod didn't know anything about. That's God's word to somebody today, that if the enemy think he stopped you one way, all his reinforcements, his whole crew right there on that one path, and God had you bypass them, go around them, go through them, and they would know what's done happened. They go home. Then watch this. Now Herod is mad because he realized he done got tricked. Can I tell you what's wrong with some people? The trickster done got tricked. The one plotting done got plotted on. And ain't nobody madder than somebody who done set you up and they got set up. Because they were looking for you to do what they wanted you to do. And when God give you another way, they mad at you. Because I didn't need you to get to Jesus. I was trying to help you get to him. Let me quit. Shanice, give me about 45 seconds, start playing. Bible says that Herod got so mad because he realized that he was fooled, tricked by the Magi, that he set out a decree that every boy, 2 years and younger, wait a minute, which means he knew how old Jesus was and knew where Jesus was, but was too full of hell to go where Jesus was. I got my eyes on him, but I won't worship him. So you signed a decree thinking no matter what, I'm going to kill Jesus. I'm going to kill Christmas. I don't know what he looked like, but I know it's one of them boys that's 2 years old. Now, watch this now. Bethlehem is not a big city. So here it is. Herod, for no reason other than power crazy, you kill up to 20-some-odd little kids. It wasn't thousands, but to me, one is enough. That's why, you know, watch your mouth. That's why I get mad at government, because they don't care who they hurt. Just to be a Republican, just to be Democrat, just to be whatever. We don't care. These people don't care who they hurt, as long as they get the power. And they're killing us. They're slaughtering us just because they can. Oh, they killed about 22-year-old, infant to 2-year-old kids. Here's your shot today. They ain't killed the right one. Because here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Joseph heard from God. And he took a different path than when he came. And he went to Egypt, not knowing what God had in store. And had not Joseph heard and applied the word, we might not have Christmas. That's why it's important, my friends, that when we hear God's word, we receive God's word, we ought to apply God's word. Because you don't know, you might just be preserving Christmas. Thank God for his word today. Thank God for his power. I come today to help preserve Christmas. Thank you, Lord. But you got to be conscious of the plots of the wicked. Be committed to pure worship. But then be cautious of the path you walk. And when you do that, every day of our life, we can have Christmas. I offer this gift to you today, Jesus Christ. My brother, my sister, I offer him to you. Won't you come? He's available for you today. Right now, he's available. Because Herod's plot didn't work, you can have him today. He came, he lived, bled, hung, bled, and died one Friday. Got up that third day morning with all power in his hands. Because he got up, you and I can get up. That's called the gospel. That's called the good news. But he could not have died for us if he wasn't born. And if he wasn't born, because somebody had to preserve him. And y'all, I don't want to live. I don't want to live in such a way that I kill Christmas. I don't want my life to cause people to miss Jesus. And I'm concerned to see Christians with no joy, no peace, no celebration. It concerns me in this season to see us so downtrodden, be so grief-stricken. Where is the hope? Where is the excitement? Where is the enthusiasm? Because as I think about the fact that God did it just for us, and he preserved Christmas, that's our duty today, to preserve it. Not the trees, not the decorations, not all the food and all that stuff, but Jesus Christ himself, the perfect gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you here today? My brother, my sister, come receive this gift of real Christmas. Glory to God. Thank you.
days been given, this time none have come. That means all of us in here have Christmas in our hands. Let me try that again. Nobody came. That means we all got Christmas within our possession. It ought to sound like Christmas in here then. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. If we really got it, we go preserve it. We make ready now to give unto our God. As our praise team sings, I didn't mean to drown them out just then. I'm sorry, ladies. I missed my cue. Glory to God. Remember, our middle receptacle is for our vision. Those who would like to sow into our vision, we ask that you would do so. Those who want to give their, pay their tithes, give their offering, we welcome you to do so. Remember our online, our Cash App, $NewZion1906. God bless you today. Thank you for giving. You believe it's good ground? Do you believe it's good ground? You're going to have no problem sowing in the good ground. Amen. Father, we thank you now for your word deposited into us today in our hearts. I pray, God, that we heard and received what you were saying to us, and we can apply and have Christmas every day as we are called and commissioned to preserve Christmas. Thank you, O God, for this word, these your people. I pray that you bless them, all that concerns them, God. Bless them, O God, against the wicked. Bless them in their worship and bless them in their walk. To you be the glory for it all. Now, God, we ask that you will bless not only what we give, but how we give, the spirit in which we do so. What a privilege it is to worship you in our giving. And I pray, God, that you will bless every gift and every gift giver and the spirit in which we do so today. Then I pray, dear Lord, that you will return unto them what you have see fit, 30, 60, 90, 100 fold, whatever you see fit to return, will you do it, oh God? And I pray that we be good stewards of what you entrust to us, that we may advance your kingdom on earth. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you, and if you'd like a copy of this CD,
please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 893, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483, or join us at our regular services at 405 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, Sundays 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock.